priority of fruit bearing. We're going to answer the question as to what is the meaning of bearing fruit. And we're going to answer the question of what is the source of bearing fruit. So today you're going to hear those three things, what Jesus says to his followers. Individual believers in Jesus and church communities, families, marriages, ministries as well, bear fruit by virtue of their connection with Jesus. And he's designed us for this. Picture that bearing fruit there. We're one of those branches connected to the vine, and as we remain in that connection, we bear fruit like this grape vine bears fruit. These grape branches coming out of the vine produce fruit. So let's consider then the priority of bearing fruit. This is a priority for all of us. Jesus has made this clear here. He wants this for you. It's what you really need in life. And here's what he says to his followers about who fosters this priority and the purpose of this priority. All this is right here as God's purpose for us. Look with me at verse 1 once again. It's in our connection to Jesus. He is the vine. I am the true vine. Now, Jesus has been making these I am statements throughout the Gospel of John. This is the seventh of those I am God statements. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the bread of life. I am the living water. You've heard these if you've been with us. Jesus is saying I am God in this formula because of the connection to Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. But here in this final of these I am statements, he kind of expands it in a much bigger metaphor, and that's what we're considering here in John 15. The Father's work, he says, also fosters this fruit bearing. We're not going to talk a lot about this today, but consider verse 2 as it speaks of the role of the Father, the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And I would see this as people like Judas who are around, but the no fruit is an indication they don't have true connection and life. And every branch that does bear fruit, that is true believers, truly connected to him, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. So pruning here is introduced. It's not developed a lot, but I see that as those things that happen in life that we maybe don't like, but actually are good things that God is doing in us to help us that we produce more fruit. Let's continue. Bearing much fruit is the purpose Jesus has for us. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, this is verse 5, he it is that bears much fruit. Following verses, just a couple of quick ones, verse 8 of John 15 indicates that bearing fruit glorifies the Father. Bearing fruit proves we are real disciples. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. See the priority there? Bearing fruit is one purpose Jesus has in choosing us. When Jesus claims us as his own, he didn't say, okay, I'm just going to claim them and that's it. No, he claims us so that we bear fruit. You did not choose me, Jesus said. These are in the following verses, verse 16. But I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide. Now, clearly we see that this whole fruit-bearing thing is a priority God has for every single believer. So it's not like, there's some of those people that are Christians. They bear fruit, but I'm the non-fruit-bearing type. No, there's no such thing. This is what Jesus intends for us by virtue of our connection with him, by the work of the Father, to bear much fruit. It is a reality that glorifies the Father, proves we are his disciples. It's his very purpose in choosing us if we are in fact those who belong to Jesus. Let's talk about the meaning of fruit bearing. Fruit, if some of you are saying, what is this whole fruit thing? Fruit, fruit, fruit. Well, fruit includes all, this is my interpretation here, I'm going to explain why, all a believer's life and witness. Fruit is everything good, spiritually speaking. All that results from true prayer in the name of Jesus, all that glorifies God, it's all fruit. Now, there might be somebody saying, no, fruit is just the character list of Galatians 5. No, that's only a small part of what fruit is. Some may say, well, fruit is when other people accept Jesus through your ministry. No, that's only one part of fruit. Fruit, as I understand, is all that results of prayer glorifying to God. It includes growth, character, love, inner joy and peace, obeying God, evangelism, converts, serving, strength for ministry and mission. And I could point out to you some aspect of every one of these in the broader context of John 13 to 17. So that's part of why I'm saying this. It includes everything. And John 15:5 is the main reason why I'm saying this. Look at the very end of John 15:5. All spiritual good is fruit that flows from our ongoing relationship with Jesus, because Jesus said, whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. Nothing. That doesn't mean nothing at all. It doesn't mean you can't, say, for example, drive to the store. You can drive to the store apart from Jesus. But you cannot drive to the store with any spiritual good or benefit, anything of eternity, anything related to God, anything that's the work of God in you or through you apart from him. Because if you are driving to the store apart from that, then what your mind is going to be on, as maybe a car cuts in on you, or what you're going to be thinking about as you're going up and down those aisles, or the way you interact, or what's going on in your head, or your outlook towards things, will not be anything that glorifies God. So this is broadly applicable to everything, all spiritual good, but there is nothing good that happens apart from this connection. We have a song that we sing here at Trinity called In Christ Alone. And it has a wonderful line in there, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. And when you're in that fiercest drought and storm, this reality is being tested, no doubt, but there is a profound benefit. There is fruit. Firm through the fiercest drought and storm, what heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when strivings cease. And I share that because those that are in those moments of struggle might be the one who would say, well, I don't see any fruit here. And yet, this meaning of bearing fruit includes that as well as everything else. Your growth, your character, you're growing in love. You're having inner joy and peace coming from Jesus in the midst of difficulties. Your growth in obedience. You're being engaged in serving and evangelism and others being impacted and strength that God gives in the midst of that. All of that is included in this promise that those who are connected to Jesus bear fruit. That's what it means. I want to just look at just a few verses of the many we could look at in the context of John 15. Now here's John 15, verse 8. We've already referenced this, but here it is again. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So anything that glorifies God is a part of the meaning of fruit bearing. Let's look at John 15, verse 16. And here we move into 16b. Fruit aligns with praying in Jesus' name. Now, what is praying in Jesus' name? Is it saying the words? No, it's not just saying the word. It's the reality of the person of Jesus and his purposes and alignment with his person and purposes. Anything you pray that aligns with the person and purposes of Jesus is that which results in bearing fruit. I appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, the name of Jesus, that aligns with his purpose and purposes, he may give it to you, which is fruit. It's not that long list of self-centered things you want. It is the things that are aligned with the person and purposes of Jesus that he wants for you. That's fruit bearing. You could look at John 13:34 and the command to love. It's a part of fruit, to genuinely love. We could look at John 14:15 and the reality that those who truly know Jesus are growing in obedience to his commands. That's fruit, growing in obedience to his commands. I mentioned joy, not human joy, but joy in Jesus. John 15:11. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. John 14:25. This is to stand in the midst of the storm. These things I have spoken to you. John 15:11. That my joy may be in you. So he's talking about fruit so that we may have his kind of joy, which is an aspect of that fruit. We could say more about the meaning, but I hope you get the idea. It's all that is good and God glorifying that comes through our connection to Jesus in alignment with his word. So if you want those things and you see and understand and agree with the priority of those things, you with me here? Then what is it that brings those things? What is the source of bearing fruit? The Greek word here is meno. It can be translated remain, stay, wait, continue, persevere. In this context, most translations put abide. And I would put before you three aspects of abiding. The source of fruit is our connection with Jesus and abiding. First is to believe in him. Truly turn in a personal choice, acknowledging Jesus as Savior and God. Second is continue believing. Because just a mere box checking or, yeah, I did that one time, of course, is not true believing. We have the example of Judas. We have John 6, chapter 6, verse 66. There are many then and today who somehow seem to have believed but don't really believe because they don't continue to believe. All true believing that results in bearing fruit continues believing. We're going to talk about the importance of that, the reality of that. And then, this is not like different classes of Christianity. This is what true Christian faith is. It includes abiding. And I'm gonna make the case here that it's not just one and two. Without three, there's no fruit. There isn't. And many would say, hey, okay, I believe in Jesus, and of course I believe. It's like, well, yeah, but is that reality of abiding now, this fall, your life, your day-to-day experience? Or is that some kind of a disconnected thing of the past? Let's walk through these first. Believing. Now, Jesus is speaking here to the 11. Of course, Judas was not one who truly believed and didn't continue, and he showed his not believing by that. He did not continue. But these 11 who were staying with Jesus here after Judas departed, as we're here in John 15, they had already turned, had already believed, and Jesus says to them, you guys are in. Already you are clean because of the word I have spoken to you. And of course, he not only spoke that word, but they received that word. My question to you is, are you already in? Have you turned? Have you believed? And there's a word play here in the Greek, the word clean and the word pruned are the same essential word. That may seem kind of odd to us because we don't think of pruning and cleaning as being anything alike. But Jesus has made reference to the Father's work of pruning. And he's saying, guys, you don't need to start at the beginning. You're already in. You're already clean because of the word I've spoken to you and your response of believing in me. True believers need pruning, yes, the work of God in the difficulties of life and the things that he's pointing out in us, that he's growing us in. We need that, and the Father is doing that. But you don't need cleaning if you have truly believed. You already are clean. So the question is, have you already believed? Have you turned and trusted him? And of course, that is the big idea message of the entire Gospel of John. Not some kind of generic, I believe in God, I guess, but a reality of personal trust in Christ. John ends with this call to believe, and this word believe is 90 plus times in the Gospel of John. A personal response of turning to Jesus, but these things are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And that by believing, this response of turning to know and follow him, you may have life in his name. That's where it all starts. And then continued believing is clearly included in this meaning of abide. If you look at John chapter 15, verse 5a, I am the vine, you are the branches. Jesus is speaking here to those who are believers. Whoever abides in me and I in him. That word that abides there, the verb force, is continuous action. And the very word abide has that idea in it. Remain, stay, wait, continue, persevere. So true believing is continued believing. And there's an appeal in the metaphor itself that we would continue believing, which is what true believing is, so that we do in fact bear fruit. By that continuing connection with Jesus, continue believing and trusting in him. Have you ever seen a branch or a stalk of a tree or a plant that's got kind of broken off? And it's kind of half on, half off, right? It's, and you kind of look at this and I wonder if that branch is going to make it. You know, it might somehow kind of make it, but it might not. It might be that's it. It got bent and it got broken and it's just not going to. It's now, obviously that branch or stalk does not have the ability to say, "Whoa, I'm at risk here. I need to really get back in and hang on to that, the vine, the trunk." But in a manner of speaking, as believers, we do. And so if you find yourself sort of precariously like, oh man, I'm sliding toward the, oh, I might be going off the vine. There is in this text an appeal to you to say, hey, by the working of God, you've got sort of the ability to say, no, I'm back in. Jesus, help me. I want to hang on to you. And I do. There's a warning here. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burn. It's an image of dead branches for sure, but it's also an image of judgment that awaits those who are not truly connected. There's a third aspect, not only believing, personal trust in Jesus, continuing the reality, that ongoing personal trust in Jesus. But there is, in this source connection to Jesus, definition of what it means, the appeal to those who are truly believers now and continuing in that belief now, as these 11 were, to trust Jesus daily. To rely on him daily, to yield to him moment by moment. John chapter 15, verse 4, Jesus says to these disciples, men who are clearly believers, continuing in belief, abide in me. It's a Greek imperative. It's a command for them who already are connected to connect. This command or appeal is to men who believed and, unlike Judas, continued to believe. And so we as believers hear this as a command to us. It's saying every day continue in the priority of your relationship with Jesus. Every day trust him. Every day rely on him. Every day walk in fellowship with him. Every day follow him. Can you imagine somebody who claims to be a Christian waking up one day and something like this, right? They wake up and not a thought of God crosses their mind. Of course, no time in the Word, no time in prayer, not even a quick Lord help me today as they're getting ready. And then dismissive, snappy comments to their family as they head out the door. And then on their way in the drive to work, and they're obviously not going to be responding with grace and kindness when somebody cuts in front of them. The words come out, the gestures flow. They're all bottled up, thinking about themselves as they go into work and continue on with life that day. They say they believe in Jesus. If you said, hey, are you a Christian? They say, absolutely, I'm a Christian. But what's going on today? Clearly, they're not abiding, right? Can we agree on that? They're not abiding. And there's no fruit. They're not thinking about impact, ministry, glorifying Jesus. It's the farthest thing from their mind because they're not abiding. And this passage is a reminder to us as believers not to slip into that kind of day, week, moment, or season. Jesus says, you want to bear fruit? You want your life to count? You want it to be what God wants it to be? But the character and impact and all those things, stay every day connected to me. Trust me, rely on me, yield to me, follow me. This then is how you bear fruit. That's the source. You know, Jesus in this context is talking about life in the Holy Spirit. In chapters 14 and 16, he talks about this. And in many ways, the Holy Spirit is not acknowledged here in this metaphor. But I would say that in many ways, that life flowing into you and work of Jesus within you is by his Spirit. If I wanted to insert into his extended metaphor and analogy, maybe the Holy Spirit is the sap that flows out of the vine into us. Jesus says, you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. And of course, he's speaking to disciples about the Holy Spirit who will indwell each true believer at the moment of faith. And those who are not born again, don't know Jesus, don't have the Spirit, but the Holy Spirit is named here as the helper to be with us forever. And we'll talk more about that. But let me just close with, what's your response? What's your response to this message about the priority of fruit bearing, the meaning of fruit bearing, the source of fruit bearing, all in your connection to Jesus? First, abiding. If you have never believed, today is a chance for you to turn now and truly believe and to reaffirm that affirmation. If you're seeing that branch of your believing sort of precariously hanging on, Jesus speaks these words, and John frames these words as a call for us to believe. These things are written so that you may believe. Take that step today if you haven't yet done so. Turn now. And I'd like to speak to those who have believed and are continuing to believe and want to reaffirm their abiding in Jesus today, that the Lord's Supper is just a wonderful feast of abiding. It's a chance for us to bask in the place we have in him, secured by him, by his death for us on the cross. To let him now, once again today, fill us with that life that produces fruit in us to the glory of the Father. Realize that you are here, redeemed by Jesus for the very purpose of bearing fruit because of his great love for us. that he displayed on the cross. He gives all that we need for fruit bearing. And all of that is only found in our connection with him. By the cross, Jesus lovingly saves his own. John 13, verse 1. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Of course, this is in the midst of where Jesus is doing that very thing, going to the cross. It is finished. Redemption is secure. The wrath of God is satisfied. He gives his life to save his chosen ones, his sheep. The good shepherd, Jesus says, lays down his life for the sheep. So as we partake of the Lord's Supper, let's give praise. Let's align with him. Let's worship. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for this text reminding us of the wonderful blessings, including fruitfulness, that flow from you. Lord Jesus, we praise you for your finished work on the cross, so that our sins, because of your death, are forgiven. Life is given to the dead branches through Jesus the vine, because he gave his life for us. And all the covenantal blessings that flow from him are ours. We thank you, Jesus. We worship you. We pray, Lord Jesus, for anyone here today who has yet to receive you, that today would be that day. And for all who have, that today would be a day of many to come, of abiding in you, relying, trusting, worshiping, letting you produce your life, the growth and fruit of it in us and through us, Jesus, for your honor and glory. I pray this in your name.